not a coffee guy, so, you know, I was just... Anyway, good morning, church. It's good to have you all here as we'll be getting going here on our final installment of the church series that we've been doing. Just wanted to share a few things. Number one, as was shared, that Josh shared was with Jason Stoner tonight. So if you can come out and encourage him for that, that would be a great thing. And then also the healing place, with that we were able to get, there was those volunteered to get the carpet pulled up and all the tack strip and everything all cleaned out of there. So what we need this week is haul away some of that debris and stuff that's left in there, the carpet scraps, and then get that swept up, cleaned up, and possibly some sanding on the floor in there to get some of the materials up. So if you have some time this week and you're able to do some of that, let me know. We'll get you a key. We've been thankful for those that have been working there so far and be able to get things done. And then next stage, once we get that all cleaned up and ready to go, get the flooring in there for the healing place. So just continue to pray about that. Continue to work for that. And so we can use that to be an outreach in the local community. We'll be speaking on unity today, and to finish out our series, as we said, it's hard for the church to say that we have a common goal if we're not unified, if we want to go our own way. It reminds me of a Peanuts cartoon with Lucy and Linus. And Linus wanted to change the TV channels, but Lucy kept threatening him, said, "You better not do it." And he said, "Well, what makes you think that I can't go change those channels?" And Lucy looks at him and says, "These five fingers. Individually, they're nothing," she said, "but when I curl them into a single unit, they form a weapon that is terrible to behold." Linus says, "Go ahead, watch whatever you want to watch." And as he walks away, he looks at his five fingers and says, "Why can't you guys get organized like that?" We need unity. We need unity in the church, unity in the world. But I'll say this, the world is in a fallen state. It's in chaos. We may have short times of peace and unity as far as what people think, but as we see in God's Word, unity only comes through Jesus Christ. And so the first thing we want to look at this morning as we discuss that is basing that on a biblical foundation, having unity on a biblical foundation. The concept of church unity is deeply rooted in the Bible. Verses like Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 3, says, "Therefore I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of your calling, with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." And that's talking about the unity of the Holy Spirit. Every one of us that have been immersed into Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of our sins receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And I guarantee you that your spirit and this spirit, the spirit that you... they're not different. It's the same. It's the Holy Spirit of God. And as we look at that and look at these things, we find and we want to talk about unity. John, all through the book of John, especially starting in chapter 13, as we'll kind of break these down here in a moment, is just a reminder for us, is that there is one thing that the Lord Jesus Christ knew that his church would need to be successful. Unity. Unity. Unity is not an easy thing to come by. Unity takes time. Unity takes patience. Unity takes effort. Christ's prayer of John 17, which I like to call the high priestly prayer, falls at what I would classify as a very difficult time in Jesus' life. A time he was drawing near to the culmination of his life. Think about what has just happened in the preceding chapter, starting with chapter 13 and the conclusion of the Passover meal and knowing that Judas would betray him. Chapter 14, and he's telling his disciples that he was going to be separated for them by his imminent departure. Chapter 15, of the teaching of them that he is the vine and that they are the branches, and how anyone that is apart from him will not stand. Do we hear that, church? That he is the vine, we are the branches, and those branches cannot, absolutely should not, go their own way. They will die being separated from there. You can't be a branch that is severed, that has been cut off, or that has been broken off, and try to bring yourself back to that. We need to stay in unity with the vine. Chapter 16, trying to clear up any questions or misunderstanding that the disciples might have, Jesus lets them know that they will be scattered and that he will be left alone. Of course, you know. No matter what the others do, I'll never leave you, Lord. And we may say the same thing. But some of these things transpiring in here in this leading up to this chapter of unity, they're not the most encouraging things. These aren't the most encouraging events that are going to take place. And yet, Jesus still prays for unity. Unity with the Father, unity with his disciples, and unity for all believers. And the only unifying factor that can make all of us or make all of this happen, to bring all these things into one mindset, is the blood of Jesus Christ. That can align you and I. It does align us with the apostles. It does align us with the Father. The only way to the Father, as we said, is through the Son. And through his shed blood. And so as we look at that, and we'll reference John 17 here later as well, but we've got to have that biblical foundation. How many times do we see, and even shared this morning at the Lord's Supper table, do we see where sometimes churches, individual Christians, had struggles with one another? Is that unity? No. We've got to learn to put those things behind us. Put those things beside us. Get rid of them. And as we read in Ephesians there, that we pursue unity through the unity of the Spirit, through the bond of peace. Peace is not just a time where there is a lack of war. Just because you don't have a struggle going on maybe inside you right now does not mean that you are at peace. Once again, peace only comes through Jesus Christ. And so that's why our next point is, that unity goes beyond agreement. Beyond agreement. It's just because you and I may agree on something doesn't mean that we're at unity. Unity goes beyond simply agreeing on theological point. It encompasses a shared commitment to things we find in the Scriptures, such as love, to service, and to mutual understanding for one another. One of Aesop's fables that I remember from a very, very young age tells of four oxen that were such great friends that they always kept together when feeding. They would always back up to one another so that their tails would almost touch so that no animal could come and get them while they were eating. They would watch from all four directions. However, there was a lion that watched them for many days with longing eyes, desiring to feast on those oxen. But he was never able to find one apart from the other. They were always near each other. They were always protecting each other. And so he was afraid of attacking them because of no matter what angle he came from, he was going to meet the bull's horns. Then as time went on, he succeeded in awakening jealousy between the four oxen. This then grew into a mutual aversion. They began to not trust each other. They strayed a considerable distance from each other because now they started to doubt that they had each other's back. The lion then fell upon each one of these oxen singly and killed them all. As we know, is the moral of the story is united we stand and divided we fall. We have to stay united through the blood of Jesus Christ. We have to stay united through His Word. We have to stay united in our time of communion. Did you get that, church? Communion, unity, right? Unfortunately, the very thing that should be bringing us together may be the thing that's keeping us apart from actual unity. You know, you may come and take the bread and take the juice and act like everything that you're in your life is good with you and God, but it's deeper than that. If things aren't good between fellow Christians, the Lord almost lets us know that, as He says, leave your gift at the altar and go get it worked out. Because there's nothing that Satan loves more, listen to this, church, than for the church to just appear that it's doing what the Lord wants. Appear. Oh, we've got it. You know, we're there. We're taking the Lord's Supper. We're all on the same team, are we? Are we? Or are we separating ourselves out? Because I guarantee you that this church, this congregation will stand strong, will stand firm, will not waver to doctrines of men, will not be influenced by the outside world. But the one thing I can't guarantee you is that we won't be destroyed from within. And you know whose choice that is? Each and every one of ours. Each and every one of ours. We need to make sure that we understand that it's beyond agreement. Just because you agree with Jesus, right? or just because you may agree on common grounds and you see it this way and we try to do it this, we have to be united through Scripture. And even if that means maybe sometimes setting ourselves aside for a while to get ourselves worked out. You know, most of our problems take place within our own mind. You may talk to somebody, oh, I'm sorry that I did. They might not even realize anything happened. It's all what's going on up here with you. And then that's what leads us to the importance of diversity. One of my favorite passages is out of Revelation when it talks about who's going to be in heaven with all the different nations, with all the different tongues, with all the different tribes. How wonderful will that be? That Lord has not counted anybody out. As a matter of fact, you're the one that counts yourself out. He's done everything that he can do to bring you together to be with him in heaven one day. It just depends if we want to accept it or not. And by this, I mean when we look at this diversity, we may look and say, well, this person does that, and that person has done that, and this person said this, and this person's involved in that. You know what? Scripture says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We all have a sin problem, and only Jesus Christ can take care of that. While striving for unity, the church should also embrace diversity in backgrounds, experiences, and perspectives. I found this little illustration by A.W. Tozer that I think really hits that on the head for us. It says, has it ever occurred to you that 100 pianos all tuned to the same tuning fork, are automatically tuned to each other? They are of one accord by being tuned, not to each other. They didn't take this. That's why, like, when you make a copy of keys, you don't make take the master and then make a copy and then make a copy of the key and then another copy from that copy. It's going to end up getting messed up. Same thing here is what he's sharing about the pianos. That if they're tuned to the same fork, then they're going to all be tuned alike. Not to each other, but to another standard, which is to the individual of that tuning fork. So 100 worshipers, consider it this way, meeting together, each one looking away to Christ, are actually nearer in heart to each other than they could be if they looked to each other in unity. But if they turn their eyes away from God, turn their eyes away from Christ, turn your eyes away from the guidance of the Holy Spirit, turn your eyes away from the Word, our fellowship isn't going to get any closer. It's going to drift. To remain divided is sinful. Did not our Lord pray in John 17:22, the glory which you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one just as we are one. Jesus wants for the relationship, and here when he's talking about them, talking about the apostles here, but he wants for their relationship with each other to be as close as the relationship with the Father and the Son are. And then he goes beyond that later and prays for us as well, that he wants for us to be all in unity together. He prays for those first and then for all those to come. A chorus of ecumenical denominational voices keep harping the unity tune. How many times do we hear it? Do we see it on the hear it on the radio, see it on the TV or the social media? They keep saying, and when I say this, I'm using air quotes. But Christians of all denominational shades in belief must come together in one visible organization regardless. We must unite. I'm here to let you know such teaching is false. It's reckless and it's dangerous. Truth alone must determine our alignment. Truth comes before unity. We are not unified just because you and I agree. We can agree on something that's wrong. We base it on truth. We align ourselves with truth. So what does Jesus say about truth in John 17, verse 17? Right? He's pretty clear. Sanctify them. That's the apostles. That's us. Sanctify them in the truth, for your word is truth. Doesn't just say that your word consists truth. Doesn't say that your word is made up of some truth. Your word is truth. Only those sanctified through the word can be one in Christ. To teach otherwise is to betray the gospel. And as we look at that, I just want for us to understand that the reason we can have unity in the church on all levels is because we have decided to put our personal agendas aside. Right? We look to Jesus Christ. We look to His Word. We look to our Father which art in heaven. We're guided by the same Holy Spirit that wants for us to be